just going to wait a minute till the handouts go around to you. Given that this is the first year in the series, I wanted to spend a little time just to get a little oriented. These shiurim are not in any way intended to replace individual learning of the Ramban al Torah, as Rabbi Reis just mentioned. If anything, I hope that I can give you a taste that will want you to eat. The Ramban is one of the most important pirushim ever written on Chumash. You have a sheet going around right now with just a couple of marmakomos of quotes that attest to the significance of the Ramban's Pirush al Torah and how important it is especially for Ben Torah to become familiar with the Ramban's Pirush al Torah. The Chassam Sofer writes that he used to learn Ramban al Torah every week with his Talmidim. And he writes further that although Shifei HaRamban Mitsuyim, it's available, it's accessible, Ela Sha'oskav Eina Mitsuyim. Somehow people never got into it. This was in his time. And he goes on and says, Afiru ube'emes ha'sefer hazeh hu yesod emuna v'shoresh hadas ufir nisdaiti. Quite a statement. The Ramban, what he writes is considered Yisod Emunah V'Shoresh Hadas. Rav Chaim V'Lajiner used to say, I had once heard this name, Rav Shach Zatzal, but now I saw quoted by Rav Chaim V'Lajiner, maybe Rav Shach was quoting Rav Chaim V'Lajiner, that somebody who learns Rashi and Chumash without Ramban is like someone who learns Gemara Rashi without Tosis. Rav Volbi in Alei Shur has a piece that describes how Ben Torah should build his repertoire, becoming accustomed to get a certain picture of what Yadus demands. So it's besides just learning basic Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, Mishonim, but beyond that, and he mentions in his list that Huchayiv Lurcho Shlo Yedia Rechava B'Torah and Pirush Rashi Ramban. To acquire a broad knowledge of Chumash, Rashi, and Ramban. So I think it's a real tribute to the yeshiva, and the Hanholos HaYeshiva, that they organized this series of shiurim for the Bnei Yeshiva, who, Yesh Hashem, all of you, most of you, will become Mori Derech, and you'll be able to give over from who you are, and be mashpia on others. So all of you can get a certain achiza in a sefer that's considered Yesod Emunah V'Shoresh Hadas. Hopefully that will have ripple effects beyond yourselves. To get something of a picture of the Ramban's Pirush al Torah, it would be worth looking at what he himself writes in Hagdama. He writes Hagdama to his Pirush. And it's actually a poem. The Ramban wrote several poems. He's not known as a paitan. There were certain Rishonim that were known as paitanim, Yehuda Levi, for example. But the Ramban did write several poems, and one of them is what appears in his introduction. The first thing that's striking about it, and I think it's good to emphasize before we begin anything else, is the genuine sense of anava that comes across in his words. B'shem Makel HaGadol HaNora Aschi Lichtov Chidushim B'Perush HaTorah B'Ema B'Yira B'Reses B'Ziya B'Mora Mispalel U'Mizvade B'Lev Nitke B'Nefesh Shivura. Starts with a sense of Bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking Mechila Shol Slicha Bakbakesh Mechila V'Chapara B'Kida B'Chricha B'Vricha B'Shtachavoya Ad Shispaku Kolchuyas Shebeshedra. acknowledges how far he is from really understanding the depth of Torah, probably alluding to the fact that the Ramban knows he's including inyanim of Nister in his Pirush, and we'll get to that soon. And who am I, Kneged, the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who are we speaking about here? Someone whose Kedusha is well, well beyond what we ever could imagine. They say that if you look at the Tshuvas of Bikiveger, you can get a sense of Yiras Shemayim, without even going through the sugyas themselves, just to read the words, because Kiveger's personality comes through in his words and his reverence and Yiras Shemayim. And here you read the Ramban, his introduction, and you recognize who we're speaking about. The Ramban lived a Nava. The Ramban wrote a letter to his son, famous Igeres Ramban. I'm sure you've all seen it, heard it, read it. And the main theme in that letter is the theme of Anava, the Maila of Anava, how it is really the Midah that is standing out in terms of how a person can ultimately be Zolcha to this world, to the next world. Just Derech Agav, the Ramban in Chumash, Parsha Shoftim, the Pasuk says, Levilti Rum Levavo Me'echav, that a king has to be, his power has to be curbed in many ways. He can't have too much money and too many wives and too many horses, all so that his heart does not become elevated. Ramban writes that Nirmas Bekan Isser Hageus. Here the Torah is alluding to the prohibition of becoming a Balgaiva, because if it's mentioned for a king who would be prone to becoming proud and arrogant, certainly for everybody. Ramban doesn't formally count it as a lav in the Torah, but he does seem to say that in his Minyan HaMitzvos, that is, but he does seem to say the Torah is alluding to the prohibition, as it were, of Gaiva. We are in Yimei HaDin. We're less than 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. It's certainly a Midah that we should all be thinking about at this time. Chazal say that it's a skula, in a sense, to be Zolche B'din, Ko Hamava Midosam, Funukov Shav. The more a person trains himself with the Midah of Anava, the more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a little more room for Midah Sarachamim when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. But in any case, before even beginning the process of talking about the Ramban and trying to glean ideas and profound notions from the Ramban, we have to just begin with the Yiras HaKavod, recognizing that every word of the Ramban is Kodesh Kadashim. The Ramban's words are measured. The Ramban's words are filled with tremendous insight and depth. And I'm not just talking about the Ramban when he speaks about Derech HaEmes and Kabbalah. I'm talking about even when the Ramban writes what he's considered Pshutil Shel Mikra, Pshat in the Pasuk. There's so much there beyond what meets the eye. We shouldn't take it just casually, you know, like we're reading a newspaper, Lahavdil. You know, the Ramban's words are tremendous, and we have to take a certain responsibility when we read it, to read it with a sense of what it was meant for. When I was a youngster around your age, so on my own, every week I would try to learn through the Ramban as much as I could every week on the Parsha. And I would say I understood very little of what I was reading. I don't know the percentages, but I read it just pashut, like, you know, like Bekia stick, very quickly, maybe like a newspaper, hopefully a little bit better than that. But I used the Mikros Gedolos Chumash, which is filled with a lot of mistakes, and there are many passages that are missing there, and I would highly discourage anybody from using the Ramban that's in the old Mikros Gedolos Chumash. We'll talk it a little bit soon about different Maduras that you could use. But anyway, despite all of that, despite the fact that I wasn't really learning it properly, I had a certain hargasha. You know, the little that I did understand, here and there, bits and pieces, I had a certain hargasha that I was touching something very deep, something very profound. I was somehow affected by it. I can't explain it exactly, but I guess the insights that did speak to me, and somehow there was something there that was very inspiring. And obviously, maybe it lit a fire in some way. In recent years, I began to learn Ramban again, each Shabbos, Parshas HaShavua, with a little more focus, and began to look at certain svarim that have been written to expound on the ideas of the Ramban. I give a shiur now for several years in Pesek, where I live, every Shabbos for some balabatim, Shabbos afternoon, and we go through some pieces. And I have to tell you that every time you take another look at a piece in the Ramban that you may have seen once, twice, three times before, and you just reflect on it, think about it, look at the words and see how they speak to you, you find more ideas. And then you look at how others have interpreted it. And it's a remarkable thing that the idea that the depth of Torah, the depth of the Ramban himself, that the more that you look at it, so again, it's something that to appreciate when you see it again, think about it again, and you will grow from that experience. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the different editions that you can pick up to learn Ramban properly. As I mentioned before, I would say the Makros Gedolos edition is probably the least preferable because you'll be missing out on a lot. First of all, there are no annotations at all, so you don't even realize sometimes what a word means or basic idea. And there are a lot of mistakes in the words. And there are actually whole passages that are missing. And you won't know it. On the other hand, you know, obviously there are many editions of the Ramban that are far better. The Chevelle edition, which I see many of you have, is very good. Probably one concern is that you don't have a chumash that comes with it, and we'll see how important it is to have a chumash. So if you have a chumash separately and you have that, that's fine, because Ramban is really focusing on the psukim. But I'm not, you don't need my haskama, he doesn't need, but it's a fine, it was really a trailblazing thing for Rabbi Chevelle to do this, despite the fact that there probably are drawbacks and there have been critiques, but ultimately it was a tremendous advancement in getting people to feel comfortable with reading the Ramban, and the notes are not overwhelming, overbearing, they're short, they're sweet, he brings what needs to be brought, he has Miriam in the back, he has references to Psukim when the Ramban uses Melitzis, so it's really a quality edition. You do have it in the Torah Chaim Chumash, so you have the Chumash and the Ramban with other Pirushim, so that's, they took the notes of Rabbi Chevelle and they put that in. So that's obviously, you can't go wrong with that. More recently, you have other editions have come out. There's one called Tur Yerushalayim, which is also very good. He actually did what he did with Chovas HaLevavos, the same Machaber. He took the Ramban's words and he used his own words to make it a little more user-friendly, and he has a Pirush on the bottom. There's another edition that recently came out, actually two. One is called Beis HaYayin, which is remarkable. And they use that, I think, to some extent in the Machon Yerushalayim edition, which has now come out with all five Chalakim, which is very special because it also brings some of the classic Pirushim of the Ramban going back over 100 years. Kor Hazav, Nimuki Shmuel, Tcheles Mardechai, Rabbi Chevelle quotes bits and pieces from those Sfarim, which are classic Pirushim on the Ramban. The Machon Yerushalayim edition, it's a red cover, five separate volumes. They quote these Pirushim in their entirety. And so that's a very, very good save for good investment. And the Art Scroll just came out with their edition, which is, what I've seen of it, it seems like it was done very well. There was a team of people, I know one of them that was involved, and obviously they put a lot of thought into it. You may not agree with every shot that they offer, because it was, again, a function of how they understood it, but they did a very good job. Anyway, so that, and that has English translation, so you can always have that to help along. Okay, that's as far as editions of the Ramban. Svarim that have come out on the Ramban, I mean, Engel Dov itself, there are many. I'll just mention a few that I've had a chance to look at and I felt are very, very helpful. One is, and each one is unique in their own way. Rav Simcha Zisu Broida of Chevron, one of the great Rashi Yeshiva, great thinkers, I believe Rav Blachman from Kamba Yavna is a Talmud of his. And he can speak to you volumes about his greatness, and books I think they've written, biography written about him. Anyway, he wrote a series of Svarim on the Ramban called Sam Derech. I think they are tremendous ideas, and he uses the Ramban as a springboard for a picture of Hashkafa, and he really he does a tremendous service in terms of trying to bring the Ramban in terms of personal life and bringing ideas out. And he finds in any kind of Ramban, whether it's a Ramban that's a profound Amuna Ramban, Hashkafa Ramban, or Ramban which is Pashup Shat in a Pasuk, and suddenly it lights up because he takes something from that Ramban that relates to general Hashkafa Sayadus. There's another Sefer which is fabulous by someone who Baruch Hashem I'm Zocheh to have a personal relationship with. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Kapu Schwartz. Maybe we can have him come 1 week here. I had an idea just some point, I don't know, to see. He's a tremendous yid, really, and that's not Aguzma. He wrote a sefer called Yekev Ephraim. It's a couple of volumes have come out, and he has a tremendous eye for the words of the Ramban and bringing out the Kavanas Ramban that many have overlooked. I believe that the team that did the art scroll quote him on numerous occasions. This is someone living today in Borough Park who has tremendous grasp of the Ramban and other Svarim or Nevuchim as well. He's able to a lot of times do some contrasting between the Ramban and more Nevuchim of the Rambam. There's another sefer which is not well known, which is also tremendous to me. I find it tremendously helpful, and those who recognize its value recognize it, although it's not well known. Zikaron Yitzchak. It was with Menachem Tzvi Eisenstadt. He did it just on Sefer Bereishis, but in that Sefer Bereishis there's a tremendous wealth of information and knowledge that pertains to the Ramban al Torah throughout other Svarim as well. And I won't mention other names of Svarim because I'm not as familiar with them. I've looked at them, but these Svarim in particular, I think I can certainly personally tell you I've been tremendously valuable. I want to talk a little bit about the general observations about the Ramban's Derech as a Mefarish, as a commentary. The first thing is, as we all know, the Ramban has tremendous yisodos of emuna that are found in his Svarim, and particularly in his Pirush al Torah. But what we should not forget, can never forget, is that the Ramban wrote the Sefer as a Pirush al Torah. It was written as a commentary to Chumash. That was what we saw in the Hagdama here to his Pirush. Somebody who says, I'm going to learn Ramban as a Sefer for Hashkafa, Ramban al Torah that is, as a sefer to glean emunah, yisodos, hadas, but really isn't really interested in understanding where the Ramban is coming from when he says what he says as a pirush to chumish, I think has missed the mark. You have to relate to the Ramban's pirush on its own terms. Not to say that you won't be able to glean tremendous amount in terms of hashkafa. But if you want to just look at it like kilo, I'm not getting into that part. It's not my concern. I'm not into parshanut. That's not my thing. You know, you're missing a lot. The only way you can benefit from the Ramban if you understand what it's trying to do. And therefore, if you're going to sit with the Ramban, you have to sit with the Chumash. Because the Ramban is ultimately a pirush on Chumash. And that's why you'll see in that quote that I gave you on the first page from the Chassam Sofer, he was writing to somebody who wanted to publish the Ramban together with the Chassam Sofer's Ha'aris, and the Chassam Sofer says, I can't give you my Ha'aris, my Chidushin, because of various reasons, but he said that when you publish it, you should publish it with the Chumash, not just by itself. Notwithstanding, as I said, that the edition originally of Rishavel. Okay, you have a Chumash separately, and then you have the Pirush next to it. But you can't imagine learning Ramban without Chumash. You're missing everything. And you have to understand that the Ramban himself, even his own language, when he's writing to the Pirush and Chumash, on specific psukim, he's writing with words that are also based on Tanakh, Melitzos, whether you recognize it or not. Some of them you might pick up, some of them you wouldn't, some of them Rabbi Shavel will give you in the bottom, the connections. Not that it's as important, but you have to be aware of it. Ramban uses Melitzos from Tanakh in the way he's speaking. It's like a Lashon Tzachlis, it's just the way of conveying, and that's part of the beauty of the Sefer, and the more that you become sensitive to that, the more that you feel connection. Not so much that it directly impacts on the content, but it will in a certain way, because if you can feel that you're entering into the Ramban's palace, as it were, you have to speak his idiom, or you have to feel his idiom, and begin to feel the means, the medium for which he conveys the ideas that he wants to convey. So you have to become sensitive to the language itself. If you can wait for the questions till the end, it'd be helpful. Okay, another thing about the Ramban's Pirush is that it is multifaceted. I think it's a Pirush al Torah. The Iker of the Ramban's Pirush, notwithstanding what everyone knows about the Ramban as a Mekubal, the Ramban be Iker is a Pirush on Pshat. That's be'ikah what it is. Pshat in the psukim, but not in the same way that Rashi is coming to explain pshat in Chumash and Ibn Ezra, as we'll see. But the Ramban's Pirush has in it a certain multi-layers, and he has a lot of halacha, so that if you're learning a particular sugya somewhere, it might come up that you'll bring something the Ramban says, whether it be Parshas Bahar, about Shemitah, in terms of Shamur and other things, whether it be whatever it might be, Kadli de Chaziri, you know, in Vers Chanan about certain Machos Asuras ideas. There are a lot of inyanim that come to play in halacha that the Ramban will end up discussing as part of his Pirush. The Ramban will discuss inyanim in Tanakh, like Pelegesh Begiva, and suddenly it will come because the Ramban is discussing the story in Vayera about Sodom and the surrounding of the house, and he'll contrast that to the story of at the end of Sefer Shoftim. Suddenly you have the Ramban discussing. So I'm sure maybe someone has done it already. The Ramban Anach, you know, you can pull that out, and not that it doesn't have value, but it's important to understand where it's all coming from. The Ramban has that, but I think what is also unique about the Ramban is that he has Sod, Kabbalah. And he has melitzas throughout that let you know that he's talking about something which is not nigla, al derech ha'emes. When you hear that, when you see that, you know he's speaking about something else, not what you and I can really relate to. Hamaskil yavin. And no one should feel too uncomfortable with that. They don't really know what the Ramban means, because the Ramban himself says in his introduction to Bereishis, separate from the introduction to his Pirush in general, he wrote an introduction to each of the Svarim. And if you look on the next page or the page after, he mentions that he's going to talk about things that are not Nigla but Nister. And he says, don't think that you're going to understand it. Don't try to understand it. You'll ask why he wrote it, right? He wrote it for special individuals, but it's supposed to be understood from a Rav to a Talmud. And therefore, ein lecha esek b'nistaros. So, despite the fact that it's there, it doesn't mean that you have to feel guilty if you know that those pieces that you don't understand. Gedolim v'tovim, mimeni, from everybody here, have learned Ramban and have not really related to the parts that are not really for us to know. To the extent that one has a little bit of an awareness and the basic concepts, at least the construct, so you get a little bit of a feeling here and there, inevitably. Maybe what Ramban might be trying to construct, not that you understand it from within, but all right, you know, that comes derech agav, but not to really try to reflect on it and too much, because it's not really our purview. But certainly the Ramban does that, and it means, again, it comes from who he was. He was a Mekubal, and he introduced that element as well to his Pirush. Coming back to the Ramban's introduction to his Pirush, further on the second page, Ramban tells you that he's not coming in a vacuum. He's going to use, as a springboard for what he wants to bring out in the Pshat and the Chumash, he's going to use two classic Pirushim that preceded him. Va'asim l'ma'ar panai, it's on the third line of the second page, Neros hamenorah tahora, Peirushi Rabbeinu Shlomo, Ateres Tzvi, Tzviras Tifara. Who is that? Rashi. Muhtar bin Imuso, all these are expressions you see on the bottom of Gemara Megillah. Muhtar bin Imuso, the Mikra, the Mishnah, the Gemara. Lo Mishpat HaBechora. You know that reference is from last week's parasha, right? Meaning to say that the priority is to Rashi. And that's because he relates to Rashi with a tremendous sense of love, as you see in the next line. Bidvarav Ege, Ba'avasam Eshge. That means that he really. He. That's what the Rabbeinu Chaim Volozhin has said, that Rashi versus Ramban is like Rashi versus Tosfos. Ramban is using Rashi to mefalpo in Pshat in the Pasuk. According to Rashi, this is what he says: I have a hasag on Rashi, I have another Pshat, I work out Rashi. But that's his first focus. The imahem yiyalanu maso matan drisha v'chakira, to be mefalpo in Rashi. The pshatav umidrashav v'cho agadah b'tzurah asher b'pirushav zechura. In other words, Rashi, and that could be for another shiur. Rashi's approached as a parashan, which is also inseparable in some ways from Chumash and Rashi. But the Ramban is building on top of that. Rashi quotes the Chazal. The Ramban is going to try to analyze the Chazal that Rashi quoted as his commentary. The second pillar, the Ramban built his Pirish on as a springboard. The Im Rabbi Avram ben Ezra Tialanu Tochachas Megula Ve'ava Misutara. Now this is interesting, how he shows you the difference between how he relates to Rashi and how he relates to Ibn Ezra. Rashi, you can feel that he has much reverence for. Ibn Ezra, he has respect, but it's ambivalence too. There's a tinge of ambivalence in a sense that he has certain things in Ibn Ezra that he has problems with. And so he loves him, but the love is concealed. What comes out more on the surface is the rebuke. And I can't go into details now because it will take us too long. As you begin to learn Ramban, maybe over the weeks we can point some of these out. There are numerous places where the Ramban takes issue with Ibn Ezra, and even in the tone that he uses, you can understand what he means here in his Hakdama when he says, Tochachas Megula Va'ava Misitara. He uses very strong language about this Chacham Ibn Ezra, how he thinks he's smarter than Chazal. The issue is because Ibn Ezra was one of the Chachmei Pshat, and he has no qualms with saying, you know, that Chazal, you know, we're not talking about halacha necessarily, but even in terms of Chazal saying something to understand something in Chumash, he says, okay, that's not really, we don't have to accept that. And the Ramban is very protective of Chazal in that way. I'll give you just one example I can't resist. It is the Chazal that Yocheved was born at the time that Ben Achomos, when they came down to Mitzrayim, which therefore means that she was how old at the time that Moshe was born? How old? What? No? Do the Cheshbon? 210 years. Moshe was 80 at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So she was therefore 130. Wow, that's a greater miracle than Sarah, and the Torah is silent. So Ibn Ezra is therefore not so convinced that this is so, that she was born then to make the 70 nefesh, the number 70, because then it comes out the Torah is silent about a miracle greater than Sarah. And the Ramban in Parshas Vayigash, that's where it comes up, when the Shem Nefesh are mentioned, the Ramban is very upset by Ibn Ezra's not wanting to appreciate what Chazal are saying. And he's very strong in his language, and he explains why there's a difference between Sarah, where the Torah made a big to-do about the miracle, and Yocheved, which was quietly, and it's tremendously so, this that can be gleaned from that Ramban as well. But this is an example of the Tochachas Megula, and there are many, many examples like it. What the Ramban does not mention here is that he also quotes, not as much as Rashi and Ibn Ezra, but he does quote on a lot of occasions, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, whether it be his Pirish on Karbanos, whether it be Meir Meriva, whether it be in a lot of the cases, and the Ramban also is disagreeing. I would tend to think that his approach vis-a-vis the Rambam and the ways who disagree is somewhere in between the Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. Rashi, he says, the love, b'dvarav ege, b'avosam eshke. The Ibn Ezra is tochachas megula v'ava misutara. And I think the way he relates to the Rambam is somewhere in the middle. He can be harsh in his language, he can be very critical, but he doesn't have the same edge. Because Ibn Ezra, at the end of the day, was not, in the Ramban's eyes, like one of the Ba'alei Halacha. And that was one of the Ramban's main strengths. I mean, you can always talk about Ibn Ezra and what his relationship is but he's not known as being from the Ba'alei Halacha. So Tosus had quotes Ibn Ezra in Kiddushin, but Lamaisa, his focus was as a Bala Pshat, and the Ramban felt, obviously, more respect for someone who was in the same league, so to speak, as one of the Balei Halacha. So Rashi, the Rambam, Ibn Ezra, he had a sort of, like I say, a certain sense of ambivalence, but certainly respect was there, and the fact that he's using the Ibn Ezra as part of his Pirush. Okay, something important about the Derech of the Ramban as a commentary, and this is clearly in contrast to Rashi and Ibn Ezra. The Ramban, I can't overemphasize this, and we'll see Mirat Hashem today just very soon, and I want to get to our parasha. The Ramban is not coming to explain Alatar, a particular pasuk, and Kilo, that's his only concern. Rashi, as a Mefarish, is looking at every pasuk for itself. for the most part. What's in this pasuk? What's difficult? How can I resolve it? Rashi will use all kinds of resources to resolve it. It's not going to be just purely pshat. He'll bring chazal that will resolve a textual difficulty in the specific pasuk that he's coming to address. And Ibn Ezra, for the most part, is that way as well. The Ramban is much more of a broader approach, a thematic approach. This pasuk, but not this pasuk alone, this pasuk in a broader context, broader themes, how the psukim speak to one another, how a pasuk here relates to a pasuk in a parsha from now, how a pasuk in three parshas from now relate to a pasuk over here, and this is all within the purview of how the Ramban approaches the Chumash, not as, you know, as a mefarish, you know, individual psukim, and he wants to see how everything fits together, and we're going to have soon one very specific example. But this is why the Ramban introduces every one of the Chamishu Chumshi Torah with an introduction. Hakdama. Not just Hakdama to Pirush al Torah, the poem that we have here. A Hakdama to Bereishis, which is really in a way Hakdama to Torah in general. Hakdama to Sefer Shmos. Hakdama to Sefer Torah's Kohanim. Hakdama to Bamidbar and Hakdama to Dvarim. What is this Sefer all about? What are the underlying themes? Why are these ideas mentioned in this Sefer? Why are these ideas mentioned? What is the notion of Sefer Shmos? It's a Sefer HaGeula. When is Sefer HaGeula capped? When does it come to fruition? At the time that the Mishkan was completed and the Shekhinah was on the Mishkan. What is Sefer Torah's Kohanim? Why are certain halachas mitzvahs in there? Why are some mitzvahs not there that don't seem to fit? I'll tell you why. They also fit in with the larger theme. Sefer Bamidbar, what is this all about? Sefer Dvarim, what is the nature of Sefer Dvarim? The Ramban is interested in the big picture. This is why the Ramban has a different approach to the rule of Ein Mukta Mu'ucha BaTorah than Rashi and Ibn Ezra. Clearly, the rule is there. The Gemara Pesachim Davava Medeis gives it to us. Ein Mukta Mu'ucha BaTorah. Okay, that means that the Torah doesn't necessarily follow chronology. It's not a storybook. Things could be mentioned earlier, they really happen later. But how quick are you to invoke that rule? How liberal are you with applying the rule? If you're Mefarish and Chumash, if your default assumption is, I don't have to necessarily assume anything that it's in order. Maybe, maybe not. 50-50, I don't know. So therefore, if it doesn't see any the slightest difficulty, Ein Mukta Mu'ucha BaTorah. So Ibn Ezra will do this a lot within Psukim. Rashi will do it also. The Ramban is much more sparing, much more conservative. Ein Mukta Mu'ucha BaTorah means that, yeah, okay, at the end of the day, not everything is in chronological sequence. But the Ramban will need much more evidence in order to say this is not in order. There's some indication in the psukim themselves that this happened before, and even then, why is the Torah put it over here? So Ramban is, you know, I'll give you just one or two quick examples. Parshas Truma Tetzaveh is the tzivui of Meleches HaMishkan, right? When did the tzivui come? When did Kali Yisrael receive, had Kadosh Baruch Hu give over the commandment to Moshe that Kali Yisrael should build a Mishkan? In the Torah, it appears before the Chet HaEgel. Rashi, based on Midrashim, says that the tzivoy of the Mishkan came after Chet HaEgel because the whole necessity of building a Mishkan was only made after the Chet HaEgel. Otherwise, there would have been no need for Mishkan to be machaper for the Egel. So the fact that you have two parshas in Chumash that really do not belong where they are, they only come in after Chet HaEgel. So you have to know, why did the Torah do this? It could be answers. But Rashi says, Ein Mukta Mu'ucha BaTorah. Rashi can be found in Parshas Kisisa, on the pasuk by Yiten El Moshe, by Sheni. The Ramban says no. The tzivui came before. There was the ideal vision was to have a Mishkan after Maimon Har Sinai. It's the natural progression, the natural extension of Maimon Har Sinai. And that's Ramban's Mahalach in understanding Mishkan. The only thing is Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Shivas Betamuz and he's not going to tell them about the Mishkan because he has more pressing things to deal with. Chet HaEgel. And it was only after Moshe was able to create a certain sense of kapara and slicha with Chet HaEgel on Yom Kippur, when Moshe Rabbeinu now began to give over the tzivui that he had received many, many days earlier, the first time he went up to Har Sinai. The parshas are, in fact, kesidra. It's not out of order at all. And similarly, the Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim, at the end, where the Torah describes the events of Maimed of Matan Torah, with the Mizbeach that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Karbanos that were brought. So Rashi says that that section, Bel Moshe Omar Alei El Hashem, that preceded Parshas Mishpatim, that was in Dalet Sivan, and Hey Sivan, the events are described there. And the Aseret HaDibros were given on Vav Sivan, let's say. So it's Emuk the Mukhav Torah. And the Ramban says no. Based on his Makoros, he says that this happened exactly where it's written after the Aseret HaDibros on later that day or the next day. In other words, on Zion Sivan. So these are just two examples among many where the Ramban does not want to resort simply to Emuk the Mukhav Torah. The Ramban sees things in context and connection, and therefore he wants things to fit within what would normally be considered a normal rhythm, a normal progression. Another important point about the Pirush Ramban, and again it connects with what I'm saying right now about the Ramban being a broader mefarish and broader themes. Yesodos that are mentioned in the Ramban, ideas that are mentioned in the Ramban, are not to be taken just in the place that he mentions it. Those ideas often resurface again. The Ramban has certain ideas, certain themes that get that mentioned more than one occasion. Aniyim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom acher. Whether it be his approach to Eretz Yisrael, the importance and centrality of Eretz Yisrael for mitzvahs, where you have it in Parshas Achrimos, and reference a little bit in Vayera, by Sodom, he'll mention it, and Parshas Ekev, and there are many other ideas that Ramban addresses about it, Nisim and Teva. So if you really want to draw certain lessons from the Ramban in a particular era of Hashkafa, you have to be aware that the Ramban spoke about it in numerous places, and I'm not just mean al HaTorah. A lot of these things can be found in other Sfarim of the Ramban. The famous Ramban in Parshas Bo that everyone probably has heard of some point or another, the Ramban elaborates on that in a drasha called Torah Hashem Tamima. Many of the ideas of Ramban have to do with Golos and Geula that are found in numerous places in Chumash can also be elaborated on in Sefer HaGeula, and he discusses many of the things there. As well, the Ramban has certain mahalchim, certain insights that he brings out in various places, and you have to see them one complementing the other. And it's true even on a simple inyanim of diktuk as well. So again, you have to have that. No one should feel demoralized. I mean, you have to start somewhere. And hopefully the more that you get, and there are svarim, I think, that help to bring together. Yes, I think there's a little pamphlet that I once saw came out, Yesodos in the Ramban al HaTorah, where they bring, again, no one should use it as a substitute for learning through Ramban yourself. That's what I was trying to afuke before, that then you're really not learning Ramban. You just kind of trying to show off the keys that you know this or that, but that's not what I mean. To really grow from Ramban, you have to learn Ramban, and it may be more painstaking, but that's really what will bring you the growth. You have to see the Ramban's pirush as chativa achas. The Ramban understood what he was going to say before he began writing anything. I mean, maybe, obviously, things kind of got adapted along the way. The Ramban added things when he got to Eretz Yisrael. It's known, certain selections in the Ramban were added later. I don't know how much was written there, how much was written before, but certainly it was finished. Ramban made Aliyah at the end of his life, the last number of years of his life, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. That's a story in its own right. And he completed his Pirush al HaTorah there. So he writes about Kivras Eretz with Kevin Rachel, that now I see the distance when I got here, Kol B'Rama Nishma, and so on. The Ramban knew that he was writing about something that he was going to revisit. So the Ramban will write, and you'll see this in his Pirush, I'll tell you more about this when I get to that pasuk, Im Yoshieni Kael, Im Yazreni Kael, if Hashem will help me, I plan to tell you more about this. The Ramban will write about something that I told you about this Kfar Hiskarti. You won't ever see this in Rashi. In other words, you know, Rashi is coming to explain each pasuk. The Ramban is looking at themes. The Ramban understands that the themes connect in different places. I'll tell you more about it then. I told you more about it before. And so again, it's all interconnected. Okay, what we will try to do in Mitzvah Hashem, starting today, is to try to focus on the Ramban's Ala Torah, on the parasha that coming up to, that are perhaps more fundamental and connected to Hashkafa. Not purely parshanut, but as I've said, you can't completely separate and isolate it. In order to appreciate the machshava in the Ramban, you have to know what he's trying to do as a parshan in the Chumash. If you don't fully understand that, you're missing in the idea as well. So what I would like to do in Yetz Hashem now is I want to focus on the Ramban's Hagdama to Sefer Dvarim, and I want to draw a line between some of the things that he mentions in Hagdama to Dvarim, the paragraph on page 4, and some of a few of the Ramban's in our parasha this week, in Parashas Kisavo. And I hope that you'll be able to see some of what I just mentioned about the Ramban's uniqueness as a Mefarish just from what we'll do right now with the Ramban in his words to Dvarim and Hagdama, and how it relates to some of the Ramban's in our parasha. What is Sefer Dvarim? Says the Ramban, it's Mishneh Torah, as we know. It's called Mishneh Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to elaborate for the door that's going into Eretz Yisrael. Rov Mitzvos HaTorah HaTzvichos LiYisrael. Many of the mitzvahs that are relevant for them. Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu mention anything from the laws of Kohanim, Karbanos, of Sefer Vayikra, Taharas Kohanim? There's no need to repeat that for the Kohanim. Kohanim Zvizim Hei. That's the rule. Kohanim don't need, they're always on alert. They don't need to be reminded. If you're a Kohen, you don't need to hear a Musa Shmuz, right? You heard it once, it's already playing in your head, right? You don't need to hear the mitzvah again. You know about the mitzvah. However, the Yisrael, yachzor ha-mitzvahs ha-norgos b'hem pam. Pam, lahosid b'hem biur. Sometimes, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling a mitzvah again in the Devarim that already has been given over in an earlier Svarim, it's in order to add, flesh out more details. So the mitzvah appeared once, but now there's more there. Upam shelo yachzor sam rak lahazir yisrael berov hasharos, or it's simply just to reinforce the isser itself, the mitzvah itself. Kimoshi yavo b'sefer hazeh ben yonei avodas gilugim asharos merubo zuach hazu b'tochachos b'kol pchadim sheyafchido sam b'chol anshei averus. In other words, so many times in Devarim you have the warnings about not to worship Avodah Zarah, and if you do, it's going to be all kinds of terrible things are going to happen. Yishamrochem pen yiftel avavchem, and so on. And we know you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. It's one of the Aseret HaDibros. It's been mentioned in other places already in Chumash. But the answer is, and it's not necessarily an extra detail here in the mitzvah that we don't know. The answer is, but it's for the emphasis, in order to bring the point home again. Because again, the more that you hear it, the more that it penetrates, the more that you'll be careful. So there's sometimes it's to elaborate, to give you more details that were not yet mentioned. Sometimes it's simply for the sense of the effect, to reinforce. Okay, that's part of the mitzvahs in Devarim. But then again, there's something else. Od Yosef b'sefer hazeh kama mitzvahs shelo nizkeru klal. Then you have mitzvahs in Sefer Devarim that have not been mentioned at all yet. For example, Yibum, the mitzvah Yibum at the end of last week's parasha, Motzi Shemra, also in Kiseitse, someone's Motzi Shemra, the halach of Meir Kesef, the Onesh, Hagerishin, the Isha, again, get, no mention until Sefer Dvarim, until Kiseitse, Edom Zomimin, that's in Parasha Shoftim, Vizulasso. So now we have mitzvahs that were not mentioned. So says Ramban, what does that mean? No question that Moshe Rabbeinu received the mitzvah already from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
וכבר נאמרו לו כולן בסיני או באור המועד בשנה ראשונה קודם המרגלים. The mitzvahs of the Torah were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai o be'ol moed. The Ramban is referring to Machlokes in Gemara Chagiga from Bishmon Rabbi Akiva as far as whether the mitzvahs were given kolosar potosav d'itukeha m'Sinai, as Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parshas Bahar. That's Rabbi Akiva's shita. And Rabbi Yishmol says that the mitzvahs were kolosayin b'Sinai and d'itukehen be'ol moed. That means that once the Mishkan was established and Hashem continued to speak to Moshe from the Bein HaKrishnei HaKruvim, that there were mitzvahs that the details were not yet mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu until then, according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Ramban is saying that there's no question that the details of a mitzvah, the mitzvah with its pratim that you have, for example, in Devarim, such as Eidim Zomim, Yibum, Gerishin, no question that these mitzvahs were already given to Moshe, either entirely B'Sinai or B'Akiva, or in Ol Moed, according to Bishmoel, that the Protev, the Dukel, were Ol Moed. But no question that Moshe Rabbeinu received the mitzvah already from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Shana Rishona. Kodem Chet HaMeraglim. Ki ba'arvus mov on ischadish lo divi abris, kashen isparish bo. The only thing that's really novel in Devarim is getting to our parasha, Kisavo and Itzavim, the divi abris, that's new. There was a krisis bris. But the mitzvahs themselves, the mitzvahs are all given to Moshe. So Moshe did not give it over yet. The Klal Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years did not know about the mitzvah that they were commanded in Motzi Shemra, in Edim Zomim, in Yibum. But Moshe Rabbeinu had the mitzvah ready. And therefore, lo nemar b'sefer hazeh v'yidav shel Moshe tzavos bnei Yisrael, dabar b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem mitzvah plonis. Because there's no new mitzvah. Hashem is not telling Moshe in the 40th year a new mitzvah. The Torah and Taryag mitzvahs were already given to Moshe in the Shana Rishona. So why weren't they written before? Why didn't Moshe give it over before? So Ramban says, because it wasn't as relevant for them. Maybe lo nichtavu mitzvahs is from Rishonim, sheyidav miyotzi mitzvayim, kivu lo noagu b'osim mitzvahs rak ba'aretz, even though they're chovas haguf. But there are examples of mitzvahs that are not considered chovas ha'aretz, chovas ha'guf, but they weren't known yet, nesachim, or because it weren't so common, so it wasn't so nugea for them. So therefore, he only told it over to the 40th. Yeah, there's a lot to be ma'ori here, but we will leave it. I want to get to the next part of the Ramban. So the Ramban is, the first thing the Ramban is emphasizing is that the Sefer Devarim is nothing new in terms of the mitzvahs. They were all given already. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly got the mitzvahs. However, Klal Yisrael either are hearing the mitzvahs with more nuances, more details, or for the effect of hearing it again, for Zirus, or they didn't know it yet. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it, and they are hearing it. So there are mitzvahs you could consider that are mivu'aros. That means that they've been told already, but now they're being fleshed out. And then there are mitzvahs that are mechudashos, that they're new. Klal Yisrael haven't heard it yet. Yibum, but Edim Zomim. Throughout Sefer Dvarim, when the Ramban arrives at a new mitzvah, the Ramban will relate to this idea, to the theme that he set out in the beginning of the Sefer. This mitzvah, is it a mitzvah mevueres? Is it coming to flesh out a mitzvah that's already been given? Or is it a mitzvah mechudashos? Or is it a new mitzvah? You'll see this throughout Sefer Devarim. You can go, Duk v'tishkach, you'll see. The Ramban is coming to a new mitzvah. Does it have some connection? And even if it counts as a separate mitzvah, meaning a mitzvah, but even within what's considered Taryag, the corpus of Taryag, you could somehow say that there are mitzvahs that are connected one to another. One mitzvah is like an elaboration of another, whether it be Osov Esbeno and Shiluach HaKan, possibly Ben Soar Morer, might be connected to Kedoshim Tiyu and other Averis that have mentioned already, so they might count as separate mitzvahs, but there's a certain sense that this mitzvah is fleshing out the other one. So the Ramban will do that often and say, this mitzvah is really shayach, it's an offshoot of another mitzvah that already has been taught. So it's not a mitzvah mechudeshes, it's a mitzvah mevueres. Then there are some mitzvahs that are mechudeshes, that are new. Okay, so that explains a lot of Sefer Dvarim. But now, there's something else that the Ramban turns to. The next part. When do you find the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu elaborating on mitzvahs? Where do you find that in Sefer Devarim? Is it in Parshas Devarim? Think about those of you, you have a chumash, you can look, Parshas Devarim, is there anything there that would fit with anything Rabban said so far? It doesn't start till the middle of Eschanan, when Moshe Rabbeinu gathers Kal Yisrael at Revi, and then begins to talk about the Seres HaDibris. And from there you have the Shema, and then you have more mitzvahs, Ve'ekev, Ve'ei, Shoftim. But it doesn't really begin, everything that we've read so far about what Sefer Devarim is supposed to be, Mishneh Torah, doesn't really get started until the middle of Eschanan. So what is the beginning of Devarim, I mean all of Devarim and the beginning of Eschanan have to do with what we just said? There's an old joke that there's a speaker that comes to speak, and he says, "Eider ich will reden, ich will sagen ein paar Wörter," which I'll translate. Before I speak, I want to say a few words. Okay. There's the main idea, the main drasha. Why am I here for? But then there's something to be said as a preamble. Parshas Devarim and part of Eschanan is something that Moshe needed to do before he could start on the main thrust of what he's coming to do with this main speech. Sefer Devarim is really a matter of a few drushes that Moshe gave in the last 5 weeks of his life. Sefer Devarim began on what day? What day was it? It says in the Pasuk in Mefurish. What day was it? Ba'ashtei asar chodesh, ba'echad l'chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Shvat. Moshe Rabbeinu left the world. So this is a whole Sefer Devarim as a matter of weeks. And it's all a couple of speeches, really. Whenever you see again, Moshe Rabbeinu calls Klal Yisrael, so it's like a new drush. From beginning of middle of Eschanan through all the way through where we get to middle of Kisavo, it's all more or less one big drush. Anyway. Before he's going to begin the Biur HaTorah, Hischil lo'chicha mo'lehaskil lo'hem avonoseihem. So Moshe Rabbeinu begins by giving something of tochacha. Now, I want to leave these next couple of lines. I want to come back to them. In other words, what the Rambam is going to show us is that there was a preamble to the main thrust of Sefer Devarim. So we'll see what that preamble is all about. But that's what you have in Devarim and part of Eschanan. Now, before I turn to Parshas Kisavo, I want you to look at the next page and understand and appreciate how what the Ramban just said in the abstract, he sees it in the Psukim themselves. And for this you should have page 5 and page 6 in front of you. Okay? Look at the first couple of Psukim in Sefer Devarim, and I want you to really understand how the Ramban saw this in the words of the Chumash. Okay? Eile ha-devarim, asher dibe Moshe. What are the devarim that the Torah is referring to? What does the Torah mean when it says, these are the words that Moshe spoke? And then a few, in the Pasuk Gimel, and it was in the 40th year, in the Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Diber Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, Moshe spoke, Kechoshet Shiva Hashem Oso Aleihem, all that Hashem commanded him about them. And then a few words later, in the next Pasuk, or the Pasuk after that, the Eva Yardim Eretz Moab, the place, Ho Il Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Zoskei Mor. Moshe desired to elaborate on the Torah. Now, you understand, I underline for you what the key phrases are. The Ramban sees everything in the words. It's not just his own thoughts. He was guided by the Psukim. And here's how he explains it here, in the very first Pasuk. What does Eile HaDvarim mean? Eile HaDvarim doesn't mean Parshas Dvarim at all. The preamble to the main thrust of the speeches is not what the Torah is referring to with Dvarim. This may not be the way Rashi understood and others. I'm telling you the Ramban here. Dvarim is referring to the mitzvahs of Sefer Dvarim. And where does all that begin? It begins with Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Veschanan. Hola Moshe Beis HaTorah Zoskei Mor. Ala Torah Yedavim. And then, when Moshe was doing that, he began with his preamble. He said, Hashem Elokeinu, Pasuk Zayin, in other words, Pasuk Vav, is Moshe began and said these words first. Vahatam, he says, Ki kashahol Moshe uvar lem mitzvos, when Moshe was going to now begin elaborating, he said in the beginning, Hashem Elokeinu dibar b'chol rev, and so on, and this is what and this is his psicha, and this psicha continues on until what? Until the middle of Parshas Veschanan, and then Moshe calls everybody back, and he begins and says Shema Yisrael Sochugim Mitzvah Mishpatim VeHischu BeBiur HaTorah Aseres HaDibros, and then comes to Shema, okay, and that's the notion that Dibur Moshe El Kol Yisrael, says the Ramban, important notion here. Biur HaTorah v'tashkum HaMitzvahs. Again, two expressions. What's two expressions? Biur HaTorah is the idea of what they heard already, but they're hearing now with more detail, for the emphasis or for the details that they didn't yet know. Tashkum HaMitzvahs are those mitzvahs that they haven't heard yet. Yibum and so on. All of that has to be done b'maimad ko Yisrael kashayim matan Torah. I'm skipping down where it's bracketed on the side, v'hinei hiske b'kan shnei dvarim. Now you see in the words, Omar dibe Moshe b'nei Yisrael k'cho ashe tziva Hashem osu aleihem. What does that mean? That means the mitzvahs that he's going to teach them that have not yet appeared in the Torah. But Hashem had told Moshe in the Shana Rishona. And understand, says the Torah, putting on the record at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, there's nothing new here. Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom did not take any authority to alter the Torah in any way. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu gave here might sound new because Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't taught it yet, but Moshe Rabbeinu received it all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is it necessary to say this? Because it doesn't say that's the point, because it doesn't say Moshe. So understand, even though it doesn't say it, it was all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Mishana Rishona. So therefore, don't make that terrible mistake and say this is Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, chas v'lazkir. This is Hashem who taught Moshe everything, even though you might never have heard it before, Kal Yisrael, and reader of the Chumash. But this is all what Hashem had told Moshe. That is one point that relates to the mitzvahs that are new. But what else does it say? This is in Pasuk Hey, the Amar Od, Ki Hoel Moshe Beres HaTorah. What is that referring to? V'zeremes v'mitzvah shenem mukvar sheyachzer osam levayer osam l'chadish b'em dvarim. To explain it and to emphasize something new there. And that's Ho'il Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu felt he wanted to do that. See that? He didn't get a tzivui from Hashem to do it. Hashem had given them a tzivui way back to give certain mitzvahs. He had no choice. He had to do it at a certain point. This was the point. But the Biur HaTorah, that was Moshe's own initiative, that's the notion of Ho'il Moshe Be'eres HaTorah. The Biur HaTorah was Moshe's initiative, which became afterwards codified as part of the Chumash. Hashem told Moshe to write it down as part of Chamishul Chumash Torah. And all of this had to be done B'maimad Kol Yisrael. Okay, this too could be a shir. I'm trying to touch base with a lot of things, but I want you to appreciate, for the purposes of what we were magdim, how the Ramban's Hagdama and what he emphasized, he follows up on it immediately in explaining Pashup Shat. You read the words, they light up. I mean, if you have hopefully a chush in what I'm saying, you can understand that it's a different chumash now. You read the psukim and you say, what an amazing discovery. Right? It's all there. That's the beauty of it. It's all there, just bringing it out and reading it into the words. Okay, to take it now one step further on this level, Just to touch base with it, not to go too much in depth, but turn to a pasuk in Parshas Kisavo on page 8. The Ramban is on page 8 and the Psukim are on page 7. At Shvishi in our parasha, you have Moshe Rabbeinu after Mitzvah Bikurim and after Mitzvah Vidui Maiser. You have a couple of short psukim here where they sort of, we don't know exactly, what are they doing here? What exactly is this all about? In the middle of Kisavo, suddenly you read the psukim like, what is this all about? And after this comes a new assembly. By itzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael esa'am le'mor, and that leads us into the bris that we have in the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo. Hayom hazeh Hashem elkecha mitzavcha l'asos achukim v'smishpatim. On this day, Hashem is commanding you the mitzvahs. You should keep them. Es Hashem hemartu hayom. You've made Hashem, how do you explain it, special, unique, to be a God. V'leches bedrachav, a God for you, and you should follow in his ways, and so on. Keep the mitzvahs. Every one of these expressions need to be elucidated. Hashem hemircha hayom. And so exactly what is this doing over here, right? Look at the comment of the Ramban here. This is on page 8, yeah? Hinei hishli Moshe leva'er es ha-Torah ulechadesh kol ha-mitzvahs asher tziva oso Hashem lechadesh lahem. Moshe Rabbeinu has now finished doing his job in the speech of Sefer Devarim to be meva'er the Torah and lechadesh his ha-mitzvahs. What are the 2 points? We understand beautifully, right? Biur ha-Torah and chidush ha-mitzvahs. Hashem is commanding you for these mitzvahs. I've done what I needed to do. I've set my goal and I've achieved it. There's a kash, there are kashas here. You can ask, right? No more mitzvahs. Minyan of mitzvahs, we have more mitzvahs. Right? Are we at Taryag yet? No? What's yet to come in Taryag? Ksiva Sefer Torah, yeah? What? Hakil, yeah. Okay, I'll let you think about the kasha over Shabbos. But the basic approach to answering the kasha is, we're not talking about minyan mitzvahs now. We're talking about what Moshe Rabbeinu's purpose was in his Biur HaTorah Mishneh Torah. Just like I showed you before, a mitzvah could be a mitzvah mivu'eres, even if it counts as a separate mitzvah. Shiluch HaKan can come off of Also, there's the no, and it counts as a separate mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah of awareness. For purposes of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer Dvarim, it's over. That's what I want to achieve. Minyan mitzvahs, there might be something else that's coming, but it doesn't, within purposes of what Sefer Dvarim is coming to achieve, for Moshe Rabbeinu to communicate to Kal Yisrael, that's apparently what has been accomplished. Again, you have to elaborate and think about it more, and there are answers to the questions. But this is the point of why this pasuk is here. Says the Ramban on the next pasuk, Es Hashem hemarta hayom, kevan shekibaltem aleichem kol ha-Torah, bepeirusheha, ubedikdukeha, ubechidusheha. Hinei gidaltem Hashem, romamtem oso, shehu vadochem elokim. You have hereby accepted the Torah, now that we finished going through all of this. Watch bepeirusheha, ubedikdukeha, ubechidusheha. See, here you have the notion of the Perusheha, the Tiktukeha, that has to do with the elaboration on the mitzvahs that were given. And what's the Chidusheha? That would mean the mitzvahs that are new. That would be what the Rabban is saying again, tying into the themes of the mitzvahs in Devar. On the next pasuk, the profound idea here. Hashem hemircha hayom, ki hayom hazeh lachem ki yom sinai. This is a milestone right now. Now that Moshe has finished Biur HaTorah, remember, Biur HaTorah was b'maimad kol Yisrael. Eile HaDvarim said kol Yisrael, just like the Aseres HaDibros. So this is now, in a certain sense, a Madura Tinyana of Matan Torah, right? This is round two. This is Yom Sinai. And therefore, all of the special emphasis of the Am Segula idea and the special status of Klal Yisrael that has been affirmed already in Parshas Yisro gets reaffirmed at this point. I want to focus on, we could talk a lot more on this. I just, Daila Chakim Vermiza, take this, Yishmachal Yisrof Lekaf, you will look more carefully and you'll see more and more. But you notice how all this ties back to the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim and to the Hakdama. What I would like to do now is turn to the last couple of sentences in the Hakdama that relate to the preamble of Sefer Dvarim. And I want to tie that in as well to an Rabban in Parshas Kisavo. Now, I don't know how much time I have technically, because I was told officially that the class ends at 10, but there's no other class that follows. So, I mean, I could technically keep you here for an hour or more, but I won't. But I want to have a sense of, you know, where everyone is at. So if you tell me that, you know, I can go until you tell me, you know, then we'll work within that time frame. No, whatever it is, I will work. I will not go over. So I just want to have it tell me, you know, is it going to be 10:30? Is that too much, too little? What? So, what? No. No, Ben, I say, I want to. If I say 10:30, then we'll be done at 10:30. So should we just say that? Yeah, Mr. Shem, so we'll do that, okay? You know, maybe before we'll finish, but yeah.
Do you know if there's a first year class for Rabbi Penner today?
No, there isn't. That's why I have the luxury of giving you that choice. Otherwise, I wouldn't necessarily give you the choice. I would say it have to end because you have another class. But that's why I'm saying. But even so, you know, it's Erev Shabbos and they have other things to do. So, okay, so if you'll give me till 10:30, I'll be able to develop hopefully one other very important notion that will also connect us between the Sefer, the Hagdam of Dvarim, and the Ramban in Ramban here in Parshas Kisavo. Okay, so let's go back to the Hagdama in page 4. So we have the main thrust of Sefer Dvarim being Biur HaTorah, but then we have the importance of the preamble. And what is that about? The Terem, Rabbi Penner, I got permission from everybody to go until 10:30. So,
everybody knows that we're not having the second class today. We'll start it next week. And we'll probably serve a light breakfast next week if you're rushed. Sort of a little more of an informal class next week with myself and Rabbi Reese, just to sort of welcome you into Smicha and this and that. But we generally do it the second week of the semester. Next week we'll be about at 9, and the second class will be at 10. Okay?
I have another sheet.
I'll go back to work.
Okay, so we're gonna look at the last couple of lines here in the Hagdama. The Terem Sheyaschil Bebira. I want you to really notice the words here because I have a mahalach here which I want to get your feedback on. I think it has a certain resonance for me, and I've shared it with others, but I'm open to other suggestions as well. B'terem sheyaschil bebiur haTorah. Okay, prior to Moshe Rabbeinu going into the elaboration of Torah, hischil olchicham, he began to rebuke Klal Yisrael. U'lahaskil lehem avonoseihem. Kama yamruhu b'midbar. How much they rebelled. And you go through the various averis that they've done, Raglim and other things, and it's all described in the parashas here. The kamash is naigi moim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'midas rachamim. And how Hashem conducted himself mercifully. V'zeh, and what's the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu doing that? V'zeh lohodiach hasod avimoim. In order to inform them of Hashem's kindness with them. Hashem treated them well. Hashem was very kind. Va'od, she'yuchu yibakchu b'dvarav, that's a shorash of tochacha, they should be rebuked with his words, shelo yachziru lekilkula, that they should not regress, go back to their state of evil, Pen yisafu bechochatosam, lest they be destroyed with all of their averis. So what's this va'od? That they should have a stinging rebuke that should keep them from sinning, because that could mean that they'll be slated for destruction, right? U'lechazik libam, and to strengthen their hearts, to encourage them, give them chizuk, be'odiyosam, that he should let them know, ki b'midas rachamim gisnaig imohem le'olam, that Hashem will always conduct himself with them with midas rachamim. Shelo yomar adam, no one should say, lo nuchal areshes es ha'aretz, we're not going to be able to take over this land. This is the land, this is the door going into Eretz Yisrael, but we're not going to be able to take over. Ki ein adam shelo yechta, right? The pasuk in Koheles. Everybody is going to commit a sin. We're only human. Umiyat tiyamidas hadinim sucha kinegdeinu v'noved. And as soon as we commit an avera, that's it. We're destroyed. We're midas hadin, and we're going to perish. We're not going to be able to be zoche in Eretz Yisrael. Ukach hodiyei Moshe Rabbeinu ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu rachman molei rachamim. Hashem is rachman molei rachamim. You know, all this is connecting to the uachazek libam, right? The chizuk is that nobody should feel that all is lost, because we are for sure going to sin. It's part of human nature, a fatalistic approach. It's going to happen, and then that's all. That's it. We're just so why bother, right? We're not going to. So the answer is no. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them Hashem is full of mercy. It's a beautiful thought, right? And now let's look at the last few words. Ki aslicha v'amechila mimenu yisbarach siyua ve'ezer l'bnei adam ba'avodaso. This is a beautiful thought, especially for Yom Nirayim coming up. Hashem's capacity as a mocha v'soleach is actually an incentive for people in avodas Hashem. Ki inyin sh'omar ha'kosuv, the pasuk in Shir HaMaalos Kuf Lamed, ki imcha aslicha l'man tivorei. What does the pasuk mean? We say it all the time. What does it mean? Ki imcha aslicha, with you is slicha, leman, as a result of that, tivare, you will be feared. What's the pshat? What's the Ramban doing here? The golden words of the Ramban is giving us a nugget of a pshat every time you say this pasuk in Shir HaMaalos. What does it mean? Ki imcha, because Hashem is a soleach, and we understand and we recognize that fact, that allows us to engage in Yiras Shamayim, in doing tshuva, in approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu and trying harder. In other words, if we really didn't believe and really didn't understand the concept of slicha, then what would be our attitude? You know, it's not useless, right? We're going to fail anyway, of course. So why bother? So then there's no point in Yiras Shamayim. I might as well just, you know, have a good time in this world and that's it, because after all, I'm going to flunk anyway, and it's all going to come crashing down on me, and there's no use. The answer is, ki imcha slicha leman tivarei. The slicha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ezer to people in serving Him, because we recognize and appreciate Hashem's midas harachamim. Then we understand that even if we fail, we have a safety net. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to still cushion the blow, and it'll be able to help us pick ourselves back on our feet and come back and try again. Beautiful idea. And this is part of the message of Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Dvarim. That all ties back to what? To l'chazek liba. This is the chizuk of Moshe Rabbeinu when he's telling them that Hashem will relate to you with midas harachamim. Don't think that you can't accomplish Yerusha Sa'aretz, because there's going to be chatoyim, and then forget about it. We're lost. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshe Rachamim. Now wait a second. Doesn't this contradict what Ramban just said, literally the words right before this? The very previous words, what did Ramban say? V'od, sheyuchachu b'dvarav, the point of this, the stinging rebuke is that they should get the message, they should feel rebuke, shelo yasu kilkulam, pen yisafu b'chochatosa, lest they be perished. Yisafu means that's it, it's all over. That means that there's a point of no return, seemingly. But then he says, no, but that's not true. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Moli Rachamim. So then how does that fit with what he says, that you could bedvar pen yisaf b'chol chatosu? You know, it's not, if I know I have the safety net, so that's not yisaf b'chol chatosu, you know. I might go back, but I know that, how does it still have the how can it be both? Initially, Ramban is talking about Hashem is generally with good to them in the Midbar. They should know His kindness. That stands alone. We should know Hashem was good to us. Fine. But starting with the next words, the Ode, Sheyukhu b'dvar b'shelo yasu k'kum panim b'chol chatosam, sounds like that the message is a harsh message. There's a midas hadin out there. I want you to know it. And if you don't behave, wow, you're going to get it. right? Midas Adin is ready to take you and obliterate you completely. That's the V'od. And then a minute later, U'chazek Lipa. But also Moshe's there to strengthen them, to tell them that there's a Midas Harachamim in the world, that Hashem will be Soleach U'mocha. So like, how can the Ramban say Toch Kidei Dibur, something which seems to contradict one the other? So Libi Omer Li, I would like to suggest, I share this with Rav, who I shared it with a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and he liked this very much. I would like to suggest, but I want you to take it on your own, you know, on its own merits. So there is a very beautiful Ramban in our parasha. After the Tochacha, Ramban goes on to describe various places in Sefer Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu describes the scenario of Klal Yisrael worshipping Avodah Zarah and what could come from that. So I look on page 9, and then together we'll look at the various psukim that the Ramban is referring to. And here again, you'll appreciate how the Ramban has this broad approach. He doesn't see psukim in isolation. He sees psukim as they relate to other psukim that seem to be saying similar ideas, but there's differences, shades of difference. So the Ramban writes, take a look. We just go look at this paragraph on the left side of the page. Histakalnu be'anshei avodah zarah. We're going to look at where the Torah describes in Sefer Dvarim the consequences of avodah zarah. Ve'huskiru b'Torah b'mkomus rabim. U'mehem asha amru, masha nemar t'chila. So the first time you find this in Dvarim is in Veschanan. This is the Kriyas HaTorah for what day? Ki so idbarim nevanim, no shantim ba'aretz, no? Tisha B'Av's Kriyas HaTorah. So you're going to be in the land, children, grandchildren, and you'll be there a long time, and you'll corrupt yourselves and do Avodah Zarah. So this, you'll find this pasuk, right, the page that follows. So the Ramban says, what is this about? Zeh ashar b'Yisrael m'yabdu avodah zarah achrei amdam b'Yisrael yamim rabim. After being there for a long time, hundreds of years, then they turn to worship avodah zarah. V'yu yishenim ba, they'll be there again, old and comfortable. And what's the onesh? Ha'idosi v'chem ayom ad behefetz Hashem etzchem bo'amim. You can find the psukim on the other page. So you'll end up be driven out of the land and you'll be scattered all over. V'nishartim b'seim mispar, v'sham nemar v'avatim sham v'imasei de'adam. And what will be as after all that? V'yiftiach, there'll be a promise that you'll seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of that state of being exiled. U'v'ikashtim misham es Hashem melokecha pasuk chavtes u'matzasa. And all of this is not just a threat, a hypothetical threat, but this is actually a prediction as well. And this, in fact, occurred. V'zen eskayim behem, as I mentioned already, in Parshas Veschanan, Ramban wrote about this. Also, Sefer Geula, he writes about this, that the Torah can speak in a way that has in it a sense of hypothetical, but it's more than that. It's predictive as well. But this occurred. This is one place in Chumash where it describes Klal Yisrael falling to Avodah Zarah. U'beparsha acheres. Now go to the next reference in Veschanan on the following page 11. Hashem is going to bring you to the land, and what's going to happen? Do not follow the worship of pagan gods, because if so, Hashem is a jealous God. Lest Hashem be angry, His wrath will be kindled against you. And He will destroy you from the earth. What is that? This is different. This is a warning to Baye Haaretz. Not that you're going to worship Avodah Zarah after 100 years, 300 years, 400 years. Zu aschar b'aretz im davku Avodah Zarah miyad. If soon after you enter the land, you cling to Avodah Zarah, v'yishkechu akel motzim mitzrayim, v'yochach Avodah Zarah, then the result will be v'shmidcha mi'al p'nei adama. Then it's all over. All bets are off. But we should know, v'zeh lo asu Yisrael kacha. They never did it. The onish never came that way. This is a warning, hypothetical, but not that it's telling you it's going to happen. Be afraid of the potential consequences. But that would have been if they'd gone to Avodah Zarah right away. Similarly, in Parshas Ekev, Parshas Shlishis, next page, 12, it talks about Yishamcha Pentishkach Es Hashem, lest you forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim. By the way, the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Lo Sasei Aleph, that the Rambam forgot, counts these two mitzvahs in Veschan and Ekev as a Lo Sasei in the Taryag mitzvahs as well, this Derech Agav, as a love not to forget, it's like not to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that he took us out of Mitzrayim. Both of these psukim, you can take a look there. Pasha Shlishis is this Pasha in Ekev. You should forget Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, or you think it's because of you. Ram levavecha v'shachach des Hashem, v'amart levavecha kochi v'otzim yadi, and you should know that Hashem gave you the strength. For Amar Bekan, over there it says v'ayim shchach tishkach es Hashem, the highlighted part, and you follow other gods. V'zeh gamkin asor b'yoretz imshachu Hashem v'kafru. If they'll forget Hashem and deny they took him out, it didn't really do anything for us. It's all us. It's our power. Kigibor mehem, and therefore we can do what we want. Avodah Zarah, and the onesh will be la'achrisem legamri, to destroy Kai so completely. Kagoyim she'amavim epnechem kein tovedon, as the pasuk says there, like the nations that I want to destroy before you, that you will be destroyed. The yore lashon hakasav, is this predictive? No. Again, just like in the other pasuk, if they're going to do this early, before they get too habituated in the land, and they do it before they successfully drive out and destroy the other nations, the emphasis, the nations that Hashem is coming to take away from you, to destroy in your presence, at that time, Mazir, that Hashem will shift gears from Mehavid Ha'amim V'Yavid Es Yisrael. Did this occur? So we have these very last two psukim are things that are hypothetical. Then the Rabban goes on, Pashravius, and this is in the Tochachan Kisavo, leading into Nitzavim, and this is back again, Haftacha, that will occur. You'll come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back with Sayamim, and that is a remez to our Golas and our Geula, and so too, he says in Pashas Vayelech, the prediction that there'll be Avodah Zarah, and there'll be a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shiras Hazinu. What I'd like to suggest is the following, Pshat in the Ramban, back in Hagdama. The Ramban is alluding exactly to the two stages that the Psukim refer to, whether it's Kisolid Banim on the one hand, which is Avodah Zarah after a long haul, after the Noshantim Baris, versus if Kaisa were to initially jump into Avodah Zarah at an earlier stage, soon after entering, which is what was described in Veschan and the other Pasuk, and in Ekev. And Shnei Amemes, they both have a purpose. The Torah had to put on paper the fact that if there'll be an return to Avodah Zarah at an early stage, then indeed, Kein Tovedun, that will be it. This is Midas Hadin without any tempering of Midas Arachamim. There would have been no safety net. This is exactly what the Ramban alludes to when he says, that's the point. If they would, they had to hear the Pen Yechir Af Hashem B'Shmidcha Mal Pnei Adama to keep them in check for that, for the short term. And for the short term, it's not inevitable. In fact, it couldn't happen. There had to be a world, there had to be a Kal Yisrael, and it couldn't be a Kal Yisrael would be destroyed. But they had to hear the pachad of what would happen. They had to know that looming over their head there was this Midas Hadin, that if they would turn to Avodah Zarah early on, then all bets are off. That's the point of the ode, Shal Yasu Kilkulam Pen Yisafu. But then the Ramban turns to the other point. U'chazik Libam, U'hodiyo Osam. That's the other idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Moli Rachamim. Of course, in the long term, down the road, it is inevitable. Ein adam tzadik ba'aretz. And yet, a person is going to think, well, you know something? What's the difference? There'll be Avodah Zarah. How can I control what's going to be down the road? There's such a lure in the culture around you. You're going to get pulled into it. And what's going to be then? So at the end of the day, we're not going to stay here. We're not going to be able to return here. There's no point. So he says, no. If it's at the end of days, the Noshantim Ba'aretz, after a long call, yeah, there'll be troubles. It will be rocky. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and go back to Parshas V'eschanan, and you can appreciate the Ramban is thinking these words when he's writing these words. The Pesukim tell us there that when you're going to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be with you. Ki sidrishena b'chol 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 nafshecha. And it says, the Pasuk there, Lamed Aleph, Ki kel rachum Hashem elokecha. What's the point of the Pesukim there? Hashem will not abandon you. V'lo yishkach es pisa pesecha. There's a point of tshuva, there's a point of mechila. It's not always lost. Yeah, there'll be midas hadin, but it will be a midas harachamim that will temper it. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu is also emphasizing. So shneim emes, there has to be that hypothetical statement which Karyson needed to hear, because that was what kept them in check, knowing that there was a point of no return had they gone too soon into Avodah Zarah. But in terms of the fear that, well, it's going to happen anyway, so why bother? No. Ki imcha slicha leman tivare. So I think there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful things we can reflect on. Baruch Hashem, we be able to maschil. And Yetzer Hashem, for next week, we'll try to do more of the same, but we'll get right away to the Ramban in Itzavim and Vayelech. What I can try to do is send at some point in the weeks maybe some Mar Makomos, so some things that you can look at before. Belina, that please try to remember next week, everyone. I try not to create packets, but you can bring, everyone can bring a Ramban with a Chumash. Yeah, Ramban al Torah, one of the editions that we mentioned, and a Chumash, so we'll be able to work directly from that. Good Shabbos, everyone. Thank you.